America and all our listeners all over the world. You're listening to a pre-hurricane episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logi. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, so Hurricane Dorian. It is headed towards Florida as we speak. It's expected to hit it sometime between Monday and Tuesday. Right now, the way it's looking, I don't think we here in Georgia are going to get any of the major shit. The problem with that is, if anybody who's been listening to this show for the past couple of years knows, thanks to climate change, you know, which is totally fucking not happening, we have had to face getting a tropical storm or two every year in the middle of fucking Georgia.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I mean, up until then, the worst we ever got was like lots of rain.
Yeah,
that's about it.
So would you rather get hit by Hurricane Dorian or Hurricane of Durians?
Oh God, they smell.
See, at least the Dorians actually taste good. Granted, you have to wear a gas mask to eat them, but still,
they'll be smashed all over the place.
Oh no!
Isn't that like a war crime?
I think it is. They're not allowed on planes.
I don't know. Trump's going to probably have people
fuck,
investigate
that. We just gave him
shit.
An idea, didn't we? God damn it.
We're not Fox. He doesn't listen to us.
No.
Oh, right. Thank God. So, yeah, obviously, if you're in Florida and you're listening to the show, I would advise you to head west. And by that, I mean, like, go into the panhandle or, you know, Alabama. Obviously, don't go into the Gulf of Mexico. You're not really going to.
Yeah, it's not going to help.
That's not going to help.
Don't stay in Alabama. Just keep going.
through Alabama.
Obviously,
it's
if
like
you're going to.
Texas, gonna, you don't stop now, there. You just keep going.
Now, obviously, if you're an experienced Floridian, and right now it's currently sitting at a Cat 3, if you're an experienced Floridian, that's kind of not. Like, you're not really necessarily at panic mode just yet. So if you do decide to stay, don't do anything fucking stupid during the storm.
Don't
or you will end
storm.
Up on YouTube. Yeah. I'm looking at you, Gainesville. Because I don't know why, but it's always somebody from Gainesville who does something stupid. And hopefully it won't turn into a tropical storm force that'll try and basically flatten Macon again.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed. Yeah, so, other than that, obviously we had a bunch of other stupid shit happen. Now that Donald Trump has really pretty much just undebatably lost his mind, it kind of feels like everyone's just sort of... You know, grab the popcorn and waiting for all of it to tumble down. So we got some of that this week. Also got some news from over across the pond. The new prime minister suspended parliament, which, yes, he can do that. Also, there's these – if you go to Walt Disney World and go to the Star Wars galaxy, you know, the Star Wars area – you might know there's a certain Star Wars themed Coca-Cola bottles that you can get there. Yeah, don't take them on a flight, would you? And we're gonna tell you why.
Yeah, mail them. That's better.
Yeah, that's they love finding those. Also, do you guys remember Death Row Records?
Yeah.
Yeah, you grew up in the '90s. You know Death Row. That was Suge Knight's thing. You know. Snoop, Tupac, all those guys were part of that at one point. They got purchased, but not going to be by the last people you expect.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And also, D23 happened this week, which is the big Disney convention. And we got a whole bunch of like new stuff that's coming, that's expected to come soon, including... What's going to be, like, after, I guess, after Frozen 2 is going to be, like, their next major picture to come out next year. and holy shit, I cannot wait to see it. It's an original concept.
Well, that's a good thing, because they haven't been doing that for a while.
Nope.
Yeah.
At least it doesn't feel like it.
No. But anyway, before we do all that, as always, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I'm going through the Stormlight Archive. I'm on book 3 right now. Kind of wondering, I don't think anybody else here has actually read any of these.
I've read some of the first.
The first? Okay.
They're kind of the thing is about those books is they're kind of a commitment because they are long.
Yeah, they kind of are. Yeah.
And they're so big, like the hardback versions are so big, it actually hurts to lie them on your lap for too long.
Yeah. Yeah. Great artwork in there, though. So.
Oh, yeah.
It is kind of worth it. But yeah, as I'm, like, I've been going through that and picking up on things that I didn't notice until now. Like the fact that Prince Renarin is mildly autistic. I never picked that up before.
You didn't pick that up before?
No, because apparently I wasn't paying attention. So, yeah, he fidgets a lot. He has fits. He's socially awkward. Yeah, the signs are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I suppose, like, also bonding a spren later on probably helps a little bit there, but yeah, that's we'll get into that later. But yeah, so I'm going through that, and once I've finished that, then, well, I'll be done, because there's only 3 books in the series so far.
Yeah.
And I'll probably
then you can go to the other Cosmere books.
Yeah, well, I've read all the Mistborn stuff. I've read Warbreaker, which was dumb. What else have I read? Elantris was great. There's not much of his stuff that I haven't read yet. So
White Sand?
White Sand, yes, I read that.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So. Well, there's also The Emperor's Soul, which is like a sequel to Elantris.
Yeah, kind of a short story in the Elantris world, yeah. Read that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
there's also Oathbringer.
Yeah.
You read Oathbringer?
That's what I'm going through right now.
Oh, okay.
That's Stormlight 3.
So, oh, right. Okay, because yeah. Edge Dancer was like...
A short story between 2 and 3, yeah.
Okay.
A short story was like 100,000... was like 50,000 words. It was pretty big. But, yeah. So that's been my reading for the week. Then I got, let's see, I got GOG Galaxy Beta. Closed Beta. They finally let me into it. And so I added all of my accounts, and... You know... You accumulate games at a very rapid rate when you're really not paying attention. Because I've got about 799 of them across all of my, you know, various platforms. Origin, Uplay, Epic Store, GOG.
I didn't know there were that many video games in existence.
Yeah. How?
Yeah. I mean, it's also taking into account my PSN and Xbox Store.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you can't do anything with those, but they're there. So maybe eventually they'll like you'll get presents for like you know be able to see if your friends are on those networks and be able to send messages across. But that's not really anything I'm too concerned about. It's more just having everything in one place and finally being able to look at like, okay, where the fuck did I buy that game from? So yeah. So there's a couple of. Launchers that I wish they'd support. Like, it doesn't support Battle.net yet, and it doesn't yet support Twitch, because it has some as well, so... But I'm sure that'll come eventually. But apart from that, it's a nice interface. It's still a little rough around the edges here and there, so I can kind of see why they haven't released it publicly yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's nice. I really wish it would, like, not do that thing where if you start up a GOG game, the Galaxy client just pops up right to the forefront right away. That's just kind of annoying. I just kind of wish it would stay in the background. But, you know, it's just little things like that that it's stuff that they need to address and fix. But, you know, it's not too bad. As far as my gaming goes, well, I've been playing PC Building Simulator on the PlayStation 4. Yeah, Like Chris said, the irony does not escape me.
No.
Yeah. Good game. I did the tutorial, and then I did a couple of free builds, and yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
It's just very chill. I'm going to start the career mode tonight and, you know, fix people's PCs and try to dig myself out of the debt my uncle, you know, put me in because he's an idiot. So,
yeah, with how quickly you make money in that, it's like, what the fuck were you doing, Tim?
Uncle Tim is incompetent. He so incompetent he apparently let a system go without thermal paste. So yeah, that was a thing. But anyways.
And clearly all that money went up his nose.
Probably. I would not be surprised. So so that's kinda been it for me this week. How about you, Pat?
Little free time I've found throughout the week, I've just been watching Kakegurui on Netflix, and without giving away too much, it's an interesting show. They kind of take the whole high school competition thing and apply it to out and out gambling, and it works really well. I'm about halfway through the second season, and I'm hooked.
Yeah, something about how, like, okay, so there is technically, like, a hero in the story, but he's sort of like a second fiddle.
Oh, he's the total sidekick.
Yeah. Whereas he's paired up with this chick who kind of sort of gets an orgasm every time she wins at gambling.
Well, it's every time she gets close to losing, I think. But...
yeah. She's one of those kinds of chicks. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's not the only one there.
Oh, no. There's also this platinum-haired chick that starts... let's just say that after they start, like, teaming up and doing shit, it's like these two are absolutely just want to hate-fuck each other. Like...
yeah, pretty much.
Like, it's not even subtle.
No, it's... don't even get me started on the Russian roulette chick either.
Oh, God, that girl. So the Russian roulette chick is like a – she's what – she's sort of like the delinquent of – like because, like, you know how –
she's
like
the head of the beautification committee.
Yeah, which –
which
you
I
know
find
how,
hilarious.
Yeah, you know how these high school anime are, right? There's always that ultra-powerful student council.
Yeah.
That, like, has way too much power to be in any way –
believable
somehow relevant and yeah, one of them is in fact the, you basically could call her like the delinquent chick because she's, you know, she's one of those archetypes, you know, she's got like a scar on her face and I think she has like an eye patch too, doesn't she?
For good reason.
Yeah. And then she ends up losing in a bout of Russian roulette, I think. And so after she does that, she goes into the girl's bathroom and basically, she just straight up masturbates while she's doing Russian roulette.
Well.
Yeah, it's...
that could be a thing.
Well, no, what happened was no game actually ended up being played out, so...
Yeah, it ended up in like a draw, didn't it?
Well, no, there was no game. No, the person she was challenging said hell to the no.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this series, it gets dark, too.
Yeah. all simply because of stakes.
Yep. Because, like, there's that one chick who's, like, I think she's on the committee. She's the one, or she's either she's on the committee or she's like trying to get on the committee. She looks like this sweet, wholesome girl until you find out what she collects.
Yeah.
As her stakes when someone loses.
And she's just the second person that they play against.
Yeah.
In the entire series.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think she actually has like a necklace made out of them.
I didn't see that.
It might be in the manga. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fucked up. It is a damn good anime, though.
In a way, it's kind of like Yu-Gi-Oh! Without any grandeur or mysticism attached to it. Hmm. And just gets right to the point.
Yep.
But it still gets into the themes of insanity and how high-stakes gambling affects people's personality.
And capitalism. Capitalism is a big part of the story.
Well, yeah. And they say as much in the very first game that, like, maybe the first or second episode.
Yeah. Because the thing is, if you actually, like, lose in this thing, you become, I think they call it a dog.
Dog or cat. And
yeah,
you basically
depending on what your gender is. Yeah, and you basically become the school's bitch.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So go watch that on Netflix if you haven't. It's actually pretty damn good. And it is batshit insane. Anyway, Teresa, what have you been up to?
Still watching Series of Unfortunate Events.
Movie or the series?
The series. It's getting good. We're in season two.
I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the Jim Carrey one.
No, we haven't watched that. My brother has a very dissenting opinion. He said after watching the movie, the series just was nothing for him, and I've always heard it the other way around. Mm-hmm. So I guess everybody has their preferences. We've also been watching Gretzko.
Uh-huh. And that show gets way too real.
It does. It does. It's really, it's getting personal, man.
It's funny because that game is, I mean, that whole show, everything it talks about is very Japanese specific,
yeah. But
somehow it manages to have universal appeal.
Yep. Yep. So, we're at the part where, she's, gotten a driver's license and, the whole thing. But
keep in mind, keep in mind in Japan, that's a big deal.
It really is. And, you know, just knowing how their lifestyle is, I could see how that would be super cool to have a friend who has a license. And, you know, you go in thirds on renting a car and you go wherever the hell you want.
It sounds cool until you find out what the speed limits are in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You think driving 55 on the highway is bad?
Yeah.
Try having to go 40 on the interstate.
Yeah, that would be super annoying. But other than that, I've been playing Kingdom Two Crowns. They just did a patch. It's not out for the PS4 yet. That's delayed a little bit. To try to fix some of the weird glitchy things, like your catapult going to the wrong places. And we actually had to delete all of our saves in order for the update to allow the game to load. So a little annoying because we were almost at the end of one of our campaigns, but that's okay. I'd rather not have all the glitches. And then, ironically, I never listen to podcasts, hardly ever. I just cannot stand them. But I've been stuck at a desk for 9 straight hours, and I'm going insane, so I've been listening to a bananas amount of podcasts, just unbelievable amounts of stuff. A lot of science and history based stuff and some NPR things. And it's really enlightening. I don't know. I don't know why I really haven't listened to them in the past. Timing? I don't know.
I recommend Behind the Bastards. That's a good one.
Okay. Yeah, if anybody listening has recommendations, like tweet us, please.
If you're into Conan's brand of humor, he has a podcast that is really good. And Andy Richter also has one that's really good. 3 Questions.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That should be good because I've been listening to the old episodes of the Ricky Gervais Show. And I got to tell you, it's not really for him or for his other buddy, the tall, skinny guy. It's for Carl Pilkington. And he just doesn't talk enough during it. So it's kind of a little disappointing. But yeah, that was interesting because apparently what I was listening to came out after 9/11. And they were really bagging on people like, who cares what Billy Piper thinks about 9/11? You know, why are people listening to, you know, whoever? And Charlotte Church is bitching about the firefighters getting too much recognition. That's their job. And I'm like, oh, God, I had no idea this stuff was going on overseas, that they even had opinions about these things. But
you got to remember 9/11. I mean, it wasn't just Americans that died in the towers. It was a pretty international group of people.
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, the former CEO of my husband's company used to work like in one of the corner offices there. And, you know, it really shook him up when it happened because he was still in the U.S. at that point. and was still working at the company that we were both at when 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, so I guess everything seems to be archived, even these old podcasts. And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it for me.
All right, Chris, what about you?
This week has just been tiring as hell.
Join the club. Join the club.
Kind of just having weird shifts at work where it's just like, all right, you're back here in 12 hours. See if you can get some sleep or whatever.
That is bullshit. They did that to me when I was working at Walmart a couple times.
Yeah, it's always the
worst. I just fucking told them, look, you can do that, but I'm coming in like an hour late. Like, I'm fucking sorry. Just can't expect me to go straight to bed after I've gotten home after working like an 8-hour shift.
Yeah. It's like, oh, get something to eat, like, just reconnect with whatever the hell I've missed, and then, like, okay, get to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, today I got, like, 5 hours of sleep when I passed out. And that was just annoying. Managed to get through it, so it should be okay now, but, yeah. Always kind of draining when you get, or either have to have, like, do nothing when you get home and go straight to sleep to mm-hmm. give yourself the most amount of rest, or you're just like, I'm rebelling against the system of sleep or whatever it is. I don't know. Then you start getting loopy in ways that are just not fun. But yeah, I've been watching some stuff. The Good Place Season 3 is on Netflix now.
Mm-hmm.
It is fucking amazing. Teresa, you need to get on that.
I can't wait. Oh my God.
They do some really good stuff there. There's one particular episode where one of the characters gets to show their acting range.
Mm-hmm.
In a way I'm not going to spoil. And they show like new parts of the whole Underworks. And you get to see The Good Place, or part of it, which features Nicole Byer. Which she's great there, because she's very much that kind of perky, cheerful person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to see like the council that runs The Good Place.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think the Democrats can't do anything meaningful to condemn bad people, these people take the cake.
Oh.
And yeah, that's very much was the impression I got. It's like the whole season's kind of about there's potentially a conspiracy going on. And they're trying to get to the bottom of it once they sort of figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
They try to alert the good people that are running that place, and they're concerned about writing letters of admonishment and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I won't spoil how it ends, but they set up for a pretty good final season coming up with season 4. Yeah, so there's just one more season coming, so they basically said the people that are running the show are just like, all right, we're just going to start working towards our ending that they had planned. Maybe a little sooner, so it might be feel a little bit rushed, but other than that, it's really quite good. Just a lot of good people. Stephen Merchant's in this season. He has a really good role as like an office manager kind of guy, which is kind of basically what he kind of plays naturally. And yeah, just a lot of good stuff there. I also watched The Dark Crystal. Which I still don't like the style of that whole thing, like the art style there.
Mm-hmm.
It still creeps me out. But it's okay. And then I started watching the new series, whatever, Age of Resistance, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a prequel to the movie. So you essentially get to see, like the Skeksis kind of, figuring out a way to, take the life essence of the Gelflings,
yep,
and turn that into like a liquid that they can drink to stay young forever, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, which is, that's what they did. I mean, that's the shit in the movie.
Yeah, but you get to see them like first figure it out.
Yeah.
Like that's where we're at. And these episodes are long. I think it's 10 episodes and they're First one's like an hour long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the rest are like 45 to 55 minutes long. And it's like, goddamn, the movie wasn't all that good for the hour and a half it lasts. These are a bit mm-hmm. better because there's more characters and all that, more interesting stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's some good stuff there, and they're doing pretty well with the like trying to keep that same style of puppeteering and all that, but having like new types of puppets and creatures and such in there that look really nice. And I think they use CG for like magic in some of the environmental shots, but otherwise it's pretty much all practical effects and puppetry.
Mm-hmm.
Which works out pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, when you compare, let's just say you compare it to the original movie, you can tell that some of the effects in that movie have not aged very well.
Yeah, the one thing I kind of liked from the original is just when the Emperor, like, dissolves into dust.
Yeah.
Like, that looked pretty good. But otherwise, the rest of it was like, these are just fucking ugly puppets.
Yeah.
Like, not, like, bad ugly, but just, like, they did a good job making them look, like, grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Skeksis are more colorful because they're not, like, rotting away. And whatever else is going on there. But, yeah, the show itself is pretty good. It's just very long, time-consuming. Mm-hmm. Not as easy to, like, binge, like, The Good Place. Those are, like, 22 minutes long each. It's, like, the whole season. Season 3 is, like, maybe 4 hours. And you're good. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, been doing some streaming this week. We did the Big Drive Club feature stream, sort of playing a bunch of it, sending it off. Because it gets delisted, I think it was supposed to happen tomorrow, but it went off a little early. I managed to get the last couple expansion packs before earlier this week before that
mm-hmm.
I went down. So I'm good there. And yeah, kind of did some did mostly car stuff, but did some bike stuff as well. And tried doing some of the stunt challenges for that for the bikes in first person, which does not go well
because mm-hmm.
it's real hard to control. Because like a lot of the stunt stuff they ask you to do is just wheelies and stoppies and speed stuff. And if you don't see your bike in third person, it's kind of hard to really keep track of how you're doing on the wheelies and stoppies stuff. But yeah. That's still a really good racing game.
Mm-hmm.
And play some Catherine, because Full Body's out in a few days.
Yep.
And so I wanted to play some Catherine, because they can't stop anybody from streaming the original game.
Nope.
That is kind of it's kind of mostly what I think the new one is. It's just there's a new character and some new stuff added.
Yeah.
Around that. And I don't know if that story holds up with the way B2 and all that has gone.
Like, remember, the guy isn't supposed to be someone that you're supposed to like.
Yeah, I mean, but
you're supposed to relate to him, but he's kind of a dirtbag.
Yeah, but that's kind of like all of the characters you're interacting with in the tower.
Yeah, to like be honest. Dudes. Yeah, well, it starts to make a lot more sense when you get towards the end.
Yeah, and. And that game is horny as hell, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's overly aggressive with its horniness. In a way, I'm like, how the hell are they going to top this with Full Body? Having a third character to get all horny with.
Oh, they'll find a way.
I'm sure. And yeah, like... And also, you find out how stupid Vincent is, because he's gotten Catherine with a C... mm-hmm. She knows like where he hangs out every night.
Yep.
So he's easy to access. She knows where he lives.
Mm-hmm.
So she shows up there all the time. She's got his phone number. So like when they drop the bombshell that Catherine with a K, his longtime girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
Is potentially pregnant.
Yeah.
Catherine with a C is calling in the middle of that conversation.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you fucked up royally.
Oh yeah.
And, yeah, the morality stuff is kind of interesting, though a little bit weird in the way that I think it just auto-decides, like, if you're in the good or the bad part, like, how you react to things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like, if I'm still in the good, it's like he's still doing stupid shit that is bad. It's like it's not really changing that much, at least up front like that. But yeah, it's I like the puzzle stuff. I was not expecting the butt monster when that showed up. It's like the second major boss you face.
What monster?
It's...
Yeah, it's called the immoral monster. That's the... And it's basically a giant ass with a couple of eyes on it.
I think it's supposed to represent you doing like a 69 with Catherine.
Yeah, pretty much. It's meant to be
So imagine if you see a butt with eyes on it and the tongue comes out the butthole.
And it's constantly like moaning and like... And
it
shoots out this weird pink dust that... I forgot what
effect. Reverses your controls.
Yeah.
Which, in that game, the controls are very specific. There's like enough lag that it kind of is annoying at times. So when that actually hits you, it gets fucked. But yeah, that's... Like, the puzzle stuff is pretty good, the weird shit aside. But yeah, I'm curious to check out Full Body and see, like, all right, how are you going to change all this up to add a new character and all this in there? Because I want to say it has, like, double the amount of puzzles in it. I think it's, like, 500 now, which is ridiculous. But I do like the way they have the tower framed as, like, it's like the map of Ghouls and Ghosts, I think.
Yeah.
Like that style of thing where it's, like, here's him just running against this background towards this door. That's the next stage or whatever it is. It's like, all right, that sure is a reference to make in this game. And also Vincent has very much like heart boxers.
Yeah.
that he's in most of the time. All the time when he's in the tower, but also in it frequently in real life. As there's this, there's like a whole like stink of like incel culture that the guys have.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they've technically had to have had sex enough to cheat on their spouse or whatever it is. And Vincent's the king of them.
Yeah, see, that's the thing you realize is there's a reason why all these assholes are there in the first place. It's because they're a bunch of misogynistic assholes.
And, of course, they call it the woman's wrath.
Yeah.
First. It's like, no, it's your dumbasses. Put yourselves here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that game's... Neat. I don't know the age as well, but I don't know what the new thing does. And I think there's been impressions from like the import version. It's like it's maybe not that great either, with like potential like transgender issues, stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. We'll check that out. I'll probably do a stream of that at some point. And but I think this weekend. I'm going to be doing Wilmont's Warehouse, which I got the other day. And that game's nice and chill. Just organizing these boxes with random icons on them. Trying to figure out, okay, where I got an area that's like, here's where all the boxes with dots on them are at. It's like one dot, two dots, three dots, four dots. Another one's like, I guess these are office supplies. There's like staples or... paper clips, light bulbs. Like, I guess those things are similar. There's others just like, I don't know. I don't have enough of these things to sort them, really. But that game's pretty cool, and I want to stream some tomorrow. And I want to Sunday will be, if I get Man of Medan in from Gamefly, I'm definitely going to stream that. But I'll figure it out. But yeah, next weekend, we're going to be doing a Dreamcast stream for the 8th. To celebrate the Dreamcast 20th anniversary. And we're going to play a bunch of the Dreamcast games I have. I'll probably put Seaman in.
Nice.
The fun thing is I found my microphone and the little fuzz ball that goes around it had like disintegrated.
That's no like doubt. That old... It's like finding your old Walkman from the 80s, which you would not find because you probably weren't alive then. But yeah, they
had a CD Walkman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have one of those too. It's
disintegrated.
Yeah. Like any like old like headphones or whatever that has the the fuzzy ear pieces. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
those weren't made to last.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see what else I had. Good. Yeah, I got that. I got Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I can play those games.
Mm-hmm.
I can play Virtua Fighter 3 TB.
Mm-hmm.
You don't play Parappa the Rappa?
On the Dreamcast? Yeah.
Yeah? Take requests?
That's not on the Dreamcast.
Don't have it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got Bengayo, Crazy Taxi 1 and 2, Dead or Alive 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably put a list on the post.
I feel you need to get Trick Style, because no Dreamcast launch would be complete without that one.
I don't think I have that. I got a bunch of weird shit. I got Grandia 2.
Typing of the Dead?
No.
That would be a little. That's expensive now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the Steam remake sequel, whatever that is. So if I actually want to play that, I can.
Hmm.
Got Power Stone. They got a new thing.
Nice.
It even has like new packs, so you can get like new words to add to it. Real weird game.
Yeah.
Especially just have on Steam. It's called The Typing of the Dead Overkill.
Yep.
Okay, that's going on my wish list like right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of using like Overkill's art style.
Yeah.
Which is very much like was that style of movie making? Overkill used
Don't remember.
I forget, but yeah, like they got Silver Screen DLC, Shakespeare Filth DLC, Love at First Bite, I guess zombie mm-hmm. stuff, Dancing with the Dead, like some weird shit they put in here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Filth of the Dead DLC replaces all the words and phrases in Typing of the Dead Overkill with terrible innuendo, outrageous insults, and even some slurs in Polish. You want to type phrases like "you protest, you repel hordes of flesh eating mutants"? This is the DLC for you. Okay, sure.
That's
okay.
Okay.
And yeah, that's kind of been it.
All right, my turn. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, I went and I went to GameStop today and I got Astral Chain for the Switch, and it is fucking bonkers. So when you first start out, you start out in this kind of vehicle sort of thing. It's kind of on the rails. And it's okay. It's not terribly exciting or anything. And I remembered, and I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, have I been lied to? Am I playing the right game? Because, everybody told me how unbelievable this game is. And, like, I'm just doing a kind of standard issue kind of on the rails vehicle section, and then that's over, and then I ended up meeting the toilet fairy, and I'm like, all right, let's see where we go with this. And it just gets crazier from there. So basically what this game is you are a cop and a pair of cop twins, one male, one female, and depending on which one you end up choosing, the opposite ends up basically speaking for you. You do have the silent protagonist in this game. And I've been told that there is a reason for this, story-wise. Just not exactly sure what it is yet. But basically, there's like two or three different portions of this game. There's the portion that's just the free portion, where you can go around doing side quests and those side quests include everything from, again, the toilet fairy who has to go around blessing toilets, to this weird little teddy bear mascot that goes around the police office trying to cheer everybody up, and you occasionally do missions for him. Then there's, like, the crime scene portion where you actually go to, like, a place and you have to gather evidence, and there's, like, puzzles and stuff you got to do. And then you go into the actual dungeon part, and the combat system they've built for this type of for this game is actually pretty unique. So the game director for this game was also the main designer for this game was the game director for Nier Automata. Not Yoko Taro, but the person who was basically responsible for taking all of Yoko Taro's ideas and actually giving them good gameplay. they're actually the head of this game. And of course, Masakazu Katsura does the art direction. And the way that it works is, so there's your character, and they have all kinds of stuff they can do. They've got guns, you know, they've got like belly clubs and swords and stuff like that they can use. And then at the same time, you have what's called a legion. And a legion is basically a kind of familiar that is connected to you via a chain, hence the title. So it's kind of like a giant dog on a leash, kind of, except it isn't just a dog. There's also like one that's more like a giant robot with a sword. There's one that's like a floating, like, robot thing that shoots lasers. There's several varieties of them. And you can, depending on how you want to do it in the combat, you can have these legion. They can work as an AI. You can control them directly. You can use them to do finishing moves. And there's sort of like this rhythm you get into where you're connecting attacks between the two. And it fucking blew my mind the first time I saw it happen. It's freaking amazing. I'm also still playing Fire Emblem Three Houses. I'm doing the Blue Lions thing still. And so obviously that's the one that Dan Reb's been doing. And yeah, so Dimitri is like the guy who's the head of the Blue Lions house. He's like prince of the Holy Kingdom of Fargus. He's next in line to be king. But one of the things that you kind of figure out about him pretty quickly is that he's a nice guy. He tries to be chivalrous and everything. And he tries to be a good person. But the problem is that when he was a kid, something really fucking awful happened. Basically his whole family was slaughtered, like in front of his eyes. And then they were set on fire. And so, you know, he constantly has dreams of like the spirits of his family, you know, crying at him from fire, desperately asking why he hasn't avenged them yet. And as the game goes on, his sanity starts to slip a little bit. And then once the Flame Emperor, who is sort of like one of the arc antagonists of the game, once the reveal of who the Flame Emperor actually is, he sees, he completely fucking loses it. I mean, God, how to describe it? There's only, like, up to that point, there had only been, like, one or two instances where, like, that kind of, that side of him would come out. But at that point, he just loses all fucking pretense. And then once the Flame Emperor's forces actually march on Garrick Mach, he actually goes from like a person who kind of broods about the nature of war to full on being absolutely giddy about the idea that he can actually go and slaughter all the people who were responsible for his parents' death. And then the 5-year time skip happens, and you see him where he has basically for the last few years locked himself inside the ruins of Garrick Mach and basically killed any enemy soldier or thief he came across, and he has fucking lost it. He has started talking to people who isn't there. He's constantly talking about the fact that he really just doesn't give a shit about good and evil anymore. He just wants to kill the people responsible for his parents' death, and it's fucking disturbing, man. He just completely loses it.
Yeah, that sounds like something.
Yeah, and it also shows in what his, like, his 5-year, because all the characters obviously changed visually after the 5-year time skip. His makes him look like a fucking demon.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, still, you know, reading as usual. About halfway through Speaker of for the Dead. Also, let's see what else? Oh yeah, also rereading Ancillary Justice by Ann Leckie, which is awesome stuff. And anime as well. Really not much else to add to that. So yeah. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on? No? All right then. Well then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And tonight, I want to talk about one of those people from history who his condition, shall we say, has been sort of been of much debate for centuries now. I talked about this gentleman briefly about a year, probably a couple years ago, maybe a few months ago, about people with strange eating disorders. But this guy really fucking takes the cake. Okay, so you guys have heard of, when you think eating disorders, you think stuff of like bulimia or anorexia, something like that, right?
Generally, there's also that little four-letter one. Yeah, but then there's the other
kind of eating disorder, which is where people crave or are compelled to eat things that are normally not considered food.
What is that? Pica? Pica?
Pica, yes. Yeah. So stuff like rocks or screws or jewelry. Yeah, stuff that's just there. Well, there was this one guy. His eating disorder went off into full-blown what they call polyphagia. And he lived from 1772 to 1798. He was a Frenchman, and the only name anybody knows him by is by Ferrare. Now, we don't know what his real name is, because for whatever reason, whatever his family connections were, are lost to history. But see, the thing was about him is that it wasn't just that he had this weird eating habit. It was also the way that his whole body sort of reacted and adapted to it in ways that sound nightmarish, to be frank. So basically, let me put it this way. Ferrare was born in 1772. It's believed that he was born to probably a regular peasant family somewhere in Lyon. Nobody knows exactly what his exact date of birth is. 1772 is mostly a guess. Ferrare obviously wasn't his real name. It's just the name that he picked up years later when he became like a circus freak. But basically, his appetite was unreal. Even by a child, his eating was unusual. But by the time he was in his teens, he could eat like a full quarter of like a cow carcass.
Oh my God.
Which weighed about as much as he himself did in one day.
How?
Well, I'm going to get to that in a bit. But basically, he ended up getting kicked out of his home by the time he was around 15 because his parents simply couldn't provide for him. Well, there were more than a few reasons. See, the thing about Ferrare was it wasn't just that he ate a lot, but amongst other things, even though he ate a lot, he also didn't seem to gain a whole lot of nutrition from it, because at most he only weighed a little over 100 pounds. And his, waist was known to be particularly foul. Which suggests to me that he may one of the conditions he suffered from is something called stertoria. I don't know if any of you guys know what stertoria is. It's an inability. Huh?
Is that like leaky gut syndrome?
Basically, it's the inability for the digestive system to consume enough of the fats in food, so it just goes out as waste.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, he was out. So basically, he survived for some years, going around the country, begging and stealing for food. He eventually got in with a group of, with a roaming band of thieves and prostitutes. You know, the fact that he, you know, his eating habits eventually got him some attention. He figured out, I could probably make money from this. So he ended up getting employed with a traveling circus guy. And his act would involve him things like he would start out small. He would eat corks, you know, stones. Eventually he would gravitate to like live rodents.
Oh God.
And then like his big, his big like grand finale is he would swallow and eat an entire basket full of apples all at once. And I know you're thinking it's like, wait, how the hell is he able to do that? Well, one of the other weird things physically about this guy is that he had a very large mouth, like almost like a frog like mouth. And he had like a lot of like saggy skin around his cheeks. And supposedly it was claimed that he take like a dozen eggs and like stuff them into his cheeks like a chipmunk.
God. He sounds like he's part lizard or something.
Well, and then there's also what his body would do when he ate. When he ate to his fill, his stomach would like distend and balloon out. Right?
Yeah.
Until, you know, it went out. And then he would have these large strands of skin that he could actually wrap around himself like a belt if he hadn't eaten in a while.
Oh God.
And that's not even getting into like just what he was like to be around, because this guy stank. Like, he really, really stank. And keep in mind, this is 18th century France we're talking about.
Okay. So that's beyond any stench we could ever imagine.
There's like one of the doctors who studied him, and I'm going to get to this later on, who like did like studies on him, said that it was difficult to stand within his presence within a field of like 20 within a field of like 20 paces.
God.
He also, his skin was hot to the touch. He tended to sweat a lot.
Back then, what kind of state would his teeth be in? Like, decayed? Oh,
they were very darkly stained. Ugh. Like, yeah, he had a lot of very stained teeth. He didn't really have lips. I mean, he had lips, but the location between lip and was very hard to tell. When his mouth was closed, it kind of looked like he didn't have any teeth. He had teeth. Oh, he had teeth. He also suffered from chronic diarrhea.
No joke.
Yeah.
Wow.
As far as like his hair was concerned, his hair wasn't really anything unusual, except the fact that it was very soft and fine. Hmm. You know, so what happened is, you know, around the time that he was working as a show person, he ended up suffering a very nasty intestine, as you could probably guess what happened. Okay. So basically, the people that were watching him when that happened, they picked him up and they took him to the local hospital. And it was at that hospital that all these doctors were examining him, you know, after they, you know, gave him the strongest laxatives that they could give him. Just take a minute to imagine what that must have been like.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So on top of everything, now he needs Desitin.
Yeah, so after that, all the doctors are looking around at this guy, and they're looking at, like, a weird fucking specimen that they've got in a hospital bed, and they're like, you know, I don't know why, but I really want to figure this guy out. What's his deal? Because this is fucking weird. So they started doing like various experiments on him. So like, for example, one of the first experiments they did is they put him in a room with a meal that was prepared for about what would be about 15 people. He, of course, ate the whole thing in under 2 hours and fell asleep on the table.
Oh, my God.
Then they started. Let's see. So after that, they would do some other stuff. They would start feeding him various other things. Like okay, so here's an eel, like a raw eel. Can you eat the eel? He's like, okay, I'll eat the eel. So he then took the eel, he crushed its skull with his teeth, then he tore off its head, drank the blood, and then he swallowed the rest of the thing whole, like it was a noodle.
That's metal. I mean...
Yeah.
Shit.
Now, that's already pretty fucked up, but here's the thing. Eventually, for the amount of time that thing was sitting in his stomach, there must have been a point when, you know, all of the meat and digestible bits would have been gone, and the only thing left in him would have been, well, bones. And I don't know if you've ever seen an eel skeleton before, but, yeah. But apparently he managed to deal with it just fine, so no problems with that. Then one time, he went out into the back of the hospital, found one of the alicats, killed it, ripped it in half, drank its blood, then ate the whole thing, and then later, like, coughed up all the fur like he was a fucking alligator or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So yeah, it messed up.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Right around the time about a year or so before this happened, Terrare had decided that, you know, being a showman is fine, but, you know, it's fleeting. I might need to find another place where I can get, like, regular employment. So he ended up joining the French army. And while he was in the French army, you know, even though they eventually, like, gave him, like, quadruple portions, like, rations, he would still, like, go out and, like, go behind, like, butcher shops to where, like, all the leftovers were and eat those and, like, fight over the alley cats for scrap. So while he was in the hospital, he was approached by the military, and they decided, you know what? I bet we could find a way to do with this for the war effort, because this was happening between what was called, like, the War of the First Coalition. And they're like, okay, you know, this guy can eat stuff. So how can we use that for a war? Then they came up with an idea. What if we gave him a box with a note in it, and we told him, just swallow the whole thing, keep it in you, and then we'll send you behind enemy lines to give to one of our spies there. Well, not one of the spies, but like one of the soldiers who was imprisoned. And you can pass the box and then give them what the note is and then come back. So he became an official spy for the French army. And they sent him over to Prussia.
Oh. Now,
so here's the problem. One, he couldn't speak German.
Two,
it's really hard to sort of, you know, try and keep a low profile when you're basically raiding butcher shops and fields and shit, trying to eat whatever you can get your hands on. So, obviously, it didn't take very long for the Prussian army to get him. So, they locked him into a cell next to a toilet. He finally passed the box. Then it found out that the note that he had passed, it actually didn't really have anything important in it. It was just a test. So they gave him a mock execution, beat the living crap out of him, and then dropped him off over in the French border. So he eventually made his way back to the hospital. And at this point he was convinced, it's like, look, this fucking condition I have, it sucks. I need to find a cure for it. So, pretty much for the next couple of years or so, they kept him around the hospital and gave him various you know, tried more experiments on him. But eventually his eating habits became so much that even they couldn't deal with him anymore. So, like, for example, he ate a wheelbarrow full of bull organs. Yeah.
Hi.
Then when they were going around to, you know, because being this was still the 18th century, people still practice bloodletting, right? You know what bloodletting is, right?
It was
the idea that if you, you know, could rebalance the humors in the system by, you know, getting, you know, draining some blood, that idea. So he would go around to the people that were bloodletting and he would just, drink what was in the pan.
You know, I'm gonna say that that's gonna maybe lead to some problems.
Oh, it gets much worse. At one point, they actually caught him in the mortuary trying to eat one of the corpses.
Oh, jeez, God.
But the thing is, up to this point, everything was, they were still willing to, you know, forgive him most of it. Because, again, they had a pretty fucking weird medical specimen on their hands. And let's just say it's a little too fascinating to get rid of him. And then, some point, around 1798, I think it was like 1797, a 14-month-old child disappeared from the hospital. And no, it was never specifically proven that Terrari ate the child, but let's just say that Occam's razor.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kicked out of the hospital. He basically fucked around for a few months. For a few months, you know, doing his old lifestyle until eventually he came back to the hospital, dying from tuberculosis, and that's where he died in 1798. So when he died, they decided to do an autopsy on him, and this was actually difficult to do because his body actually started to decay at a very rapid rate.
Wow. Well, he was hot to the touch all the time, I mean.
Yeah. So they decided to open him up, and what they found – let me just put it this way. Okay, let me just read what it says on Wikipedia. Are you ready for this? Okay.
No, but go ahead.
At the autopsy, Terrari's gullet was found to be abnormally wide, and when his jaws were opened fully, surgeons could see down a broad canal all the way into his stomach.
Wow.
His body was found to be filled with pus, his liver and gallbladder were abnormally large, and his stomach was enormous and was covered in ulcers. And it actually ended up filling the majority of his abdominal cavity.
What a painful life.
Oh, yeah. He only lived to be, 1772 to 1798.
26?
Yeah, he only lived to be like 26.
Damn.
So for years then, people have been debating him like, what the fuck was this guy's deal? Well, it's general. People have been debating it for centuries, but it's generally been believed that there's either a combination of any of these three things. One, he had a serious hyperthyroid condition, which, amongst other things, hyperthyroidism is known to cause things like extreme appetite, rapid weight loss, profuse sweating, heat intolerance, and fine hair. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of check, 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 and check, right? It's also believed that he may have lacked the nerve between the stomach, that's like in front of the stomach and behind the abdomen, that gives you the sensation of being full.
Yeah.
Which that's not unheard of. Like, for example, Diamond Jim Brady, who famously was known to put away a lot of food at a sitting, is said to have had the same condition. And the third is that he also probably suffered from stertoria. To this day, nobody has any idea. It's generally considered to have been one or all three, or a two of the combination of all of those things. Yeah, that's the story of Terrare, the guy who could not stop eating.
Oh my god.
And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Amazing what the fucking human body can do, huh?
And gross.
Yeah. All right, so, as always, we start off the show proper with the asshole of the week, and this week it's the Alabama Republicans, who passed a resolution calling for Ilhan Omar to be expelled from the House of Representatives.
Fuck them.
Is that a thing that can actually happen?
No. At least not from people that are not in their district or anything like that.
Yeah. No. She was...
They're just declaring how racist they are.
Yeah, she was voted into her district by an overwhelming majority. Mm. And she's still very popular there.
78%, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, they can't really do anything about it. It's mostly them trying to get the racist vote.
I'm not sure that's the vote you want to be hanging your hat on.
It's Alabama.
It's almost 2020.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Yeah, it should not be an attractive demographic, but here we fucking are.
Well, I mean, I think somebody pointed this out to me. Amongst other things, the boomer demographic is dying off at a rapid rate now. Mm-hmm. And the thing is about those types of demographics, and along with the boomers, that also includes, like, the evangelical Christians,
mm-hmm.
That whole group, because they are shrinking at a rapid rate, they've gone into kind of panic mode, so they're kind of, like, circling the wagons, which means that at the same time, they're growing increasingly more and more insular.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that, the cover kind of comes off.
Yeah.
Like, it's desperate. You know, they know it's desperate, and this is kind of their wild last gasp of trying to still be relevant.
Yeah. It's their death rattle is what it is.
All pretenses go out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she responded pretty well. She tweeted out, "Sorry, Alabama GOP. But this is a representative democracy. I was elected with 78% of the vote by the people of Minnesota's 5th District, not the Alabama Republican Party. If you want to clean up politics, maybe don't nominate an accused child molester as your Senate candidate."
Yep.
Who, by the way, I'm pretty sure he's still trying to get that nomination.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Oh my yep. God.
I went on his Twitter account and said, "Don't you have some teenagers to molest or something?"
Go troll them all again.
Yeah.
Somebody call the cops on him.
Yeah. Fuck these people.
Sideways?
Yes, sideways.
With
in
a very
the penis
broad
hole.
Stick.
Yeah.
And turn.
Yeah.
And the response is pretty what you expect. "The left wing mob has accused our effort of being bigoted and driven by race. I don't stand by and allow my fellow Republican patriots to be slandered. Rep Omar's race and religion are irrelevant. Lady Liberty welcomes those who seek to live the American dream. Assimilate to our freedom-loving culture. What is important is her love of country related to the United States. And when it holds contempt for America, ought not serve this great nation as a member of Congress."
Yeah, you might want to tell the Trump administration that.
Yeah.
Because you guys hear
some
about that
going
new
on, but it's not coming from her.
Yeah, you guys heard the new citizenship
yes
guidelines that they're issuing this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those of you who don't know, for a good chunk of America's history, in order to be one of the ways a person could be a citizen is to be born to an American parent.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also be born on an American military base.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. They changed that this week.
Yeah. For now. It'll get changed right back. It's going to get changed right back. That is not going to stand.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to piss off the troops.
No.
I mean, it has Stephen Miller's slimy hands all over it, but
And everybody with their support the troops, support the troops.
Yeah.
Really? Really? This is what your dude is doing? This is what your administration is doing? Excuse the fuck out of me, what's going on here?
Giddy agrees. Yeah.
Oh, the commercials during the election season are just going to be brutal.
Fucking vicious is what they're going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, so to wipe that taste out of our mouths, we have the Hero of the Week. And our Hero of the Week is the judge in Oklahoma who officially ordered Johnson & Johnson to pay $572 million in an opioid lawsuit. So Johnson & Johnson is basically the first company that's actually had to pay for it.
Yeah.
I think there was one more that got before this.
Was it Purdue or Sackler or the Sacklers? Or
I don't know if they mentioned. They say coming months after a different pharmaceutical company was ordered to pay $270 million for their role in the crisis.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The other one is. Now, when you see that in an article, it means that the reporter couldn't be bothered to do any research.
Couldn't even go on Google.
But anyway, good. Still a good ruling. Not enough.
No, it should be in the. It should be a B instead of an M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a T.
Or a T.
Well, I think this is just for that one state.
It's possible. Because, again, you know, the reason this all happened is because of fucking companies like Johnson & Johnson pushing out their pain pills like they were fucking Tic Tacs and getting a bunch of otherwise good people hooked on fucking heroin.
Yep.
Including some people that have been in my family. Hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Fuck all of these people. Yeah. Screw every one of them. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's some good news. So, now to start the proper show proper. Start off with a story from the Democratic National Committee, who, showing once again how fucking incompetent and stupid they are, they voted against holding a single-issue climate change debate for the 2020 candidates.
Yeah, kind of saying, like, it would prevent them from talking about other issues. It's like, climate change affects pretty much every other issue.
Climate change is the issue.
And it's like, you want a way to curb immigration?
Mm-hmm.
You fix climate change. Because guess what? When things get hotter and people's shores start eroding,
yeah,
you know where they're going to go? They're going to go north or south to their the edges of their continents.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to just stay where they're at unless they have no way to get out.
People so guess are going to start going for fresh water, too.
They're going for Phil's country, where they're going to have a bunch of fresh land to sell.
Yeah.
Hope you like living in the mountains.
No.
Then we'll have to start finding out, like, what's under all that snow and ice. There's any hidden diseases that have been dormant for millions of years.
Well, that's the theory.
Likely.
It's like, hey, well, there's more carbon dioxide under there.
Mm-hmm.
Just keeps feeding into the whole system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Anyway, Trump now has another challenger for the Republican primary for 2020. Unfortunately, it's Joe Walsh.
Yep.
So it's official, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, which people are side-eyeing him basically, and like he's just doing this so he gets the notoriety for, you know, being able to talk out against Trump to do another run at Congress.
Oh, it's probably for a book deal or speaking engagements or being
a special, for all the above.
Like special whatever on news segments and shit. Yeah.
This is not the Joe Walsh that I'm thinking of, is it?
Like, no, this isn't the guy from Unsolved Mysteries.
No, I was thinking
John or America's Most Wanted.
I was thinking
the guy
Eagles.
From Wisconsin.
No, not that Joe Walsh. Okay. No, this is the guy who had one term in Congress and was basically Donald Trump before there was Donald Trump.
Yep, he wants to be the condescending Republican to the rest of them, which is rich because he's been willing to talk shit just as much over the last few years. As they have some notes here, like in 2012, for example, Walsh accused Tammy Duckworth, his Democratic challenger at the time, of not being a true hero.
Yep.
Over
Tammy Duckworth, by the way,
as a war veteran.
Yeah, Duckworth, by the way, lost a couple limbs.
Yeah.
And both legs.
Yeah, and I think one of her arms too.
Yep. And not a true patriot.
Mm.
Not a true patriot. Where was he during that war? Where the fuck was he?
Yeah.
Was he sitting very nicely in his million-dollar home? Probably.
Yeah. So what else?
So that same year, he declared American Muslims an imminent threat to national security, suggesting they infiltrate his home state to kill other Americans, which he's from. Teresa knows where?
Yep. Oh, well, yeah, he's from, like, northern Illinois, but I think he was running in Wisconsin. He's also the dude that bailed on his child support on his kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's a deadbeat dad, amongst other things.
Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is basically, for the record, if you're thinking, man, that is awful crazy for 2012, this was the run-up to the 2012 election.
Yeah.
And Obama got his second term.
It was right before all the teabaggers.
Yep. No, the teabaggers started, like,
2010?
Yeah, maybe he was right in there with
them. It was, like, the year after Obama became president. So.
Yeah, that'd be 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a grade A piece of shit.
Yeah. And now the media's falling over themselves because, hey, here's a Republican who's calling Trump an asshole.
Yeah, well, even a blind chicken finds scratch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, next up, Kirsten Gillibrand officially ended her candidacy for the 2020 presidential race.
Yep. Okay.
And it's like, okay.
Crickets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she can go back to just being the senator.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Yeah,
actually, I think that's the reason she decided to. She wanted to focus on keeping her Senate seat or whatever. So, yeah. And I believe now they've narrowed down who's going to be eligible for the next debate to 10 people.
Yeah.
Which means that Tulsi Gabbard isn't going to be in on it.
I would really like for some school to organize an independent climate change only debate that they
could TYT volunteer. Is actually going to do that.
Yeah?
Yeah. They've got a, because they decide, once this vote happened, they decided they'd do their own. So,
good.
And yes, Bernie will probably show up to that one. Some of the others will, too.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Elizabeth Warren.
If they're fucking serious about trying to get the nomination, they damn well better show up.
Yeah. And now for the Trump dump. Here we go. You ready?
Hmm.
So, Trump announced this week that, amongst other things, he wants to have the wall built by Election Day. Not happening. And he will also pardon anyone for crimes committed who tried to build that wall. Which, by the way, keep in mind, if that happens, that would mean you would have to trespass on a lot of private property.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying, if you do it, I will pardon you.
Yeah, but he couldn't resurrect them.
No. No. Even if he does think he's the king of the Jews,
yeah,
he doesn't have that power.
And that's probably how this is going to end, so something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
He is going to get people shot over this.
Yeah. Did we talk about that last week, that he basically...
Oh, yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that whole stream of consciousness he had.
And we were like, isn't that, like, the first sign that somebody's the Antichrist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. Next up, Deutsche Bank. They've got tax returns on unnamed Trumps.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're not
saying. Oh, not just Donald.
Well, they...
Ooh.
They're just saying they have on some of them.
So. Yeah.
But they don't say anything about who.
And you'll notice we don't have it in on here, but apparently there was a story that came out that apparently a lot of Donnie's checks were co-written by Russian oligarchs. That hasn't been quite confirmed just yet. And basically Lawrence O'Donnell had to go on TV and retract it because Trump's legal department threatened him. Although the way he made his apology, it's kind of a non-apology that seems to suggest that there's probably truth in it. So we'll see. Hmm.
Wording is everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we got a bunch of GOP senators and representatives and just general Congress critters who are basically dropping like flies. Not literally, but yeah. So first of all, GOP House Rep Sean Duffy is resigning to help take care of his family.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, from what he's saying, his wife is expecting a child in late October. And apparently they have some complications going with it, heart condition.
Okay.
So he kind of wants to stay home and focus on that.
See, that's perfectly reasonable.
That's legit.
Yeah. Then we also have GOP Rep. John Shimkus, who has stated that he's not seeking re-election.
And Teresa knows this guy from her state. Though in the 9th,
who?
15th district.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Shimkus?
Yeah.
Actually, no. I don't know who the fuck he is.
He's in Wait. Let me see if I can find this, where he's from, what district he's in. Let's see. Oh, crap. Just popping in the video, this creepy image of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he... Okay, since... Okay, my brother's just being weird today.
Yeah, that's a district. That's way the fuck downstate.
Yeah, it's like south.
Yeah, that's where he is. Yeah, it looks like it goes from like the Indiana border about probably Effingham all the way the fuck over towards like towards Missouri and down way into southern Illinois and
like he has some interesting stuff to his name. Let's see. On climate change in 2009, March 25th, he said the following statement regarding the role of carbon dioxide in global warming. It's plant food. So if we decrease the use of carbon dioxide, are we not taking away plant food from the atmosphere? So all our good intentions could be for naught. In fact, we could be doing just the opposite of what people who want to save the world are saying.
I'm going to smack him with a fifth grade science textbook.
And he's also quoted the Bible to allay concerns of global warming induced rise in sea levels, saying that God had promised mankind through Noah that the earth would never again be destroyed by a flood.
Yeah, I remember
this guy's fucking dangerous. My car. I'm just going to run him over with my car.
Let's see. He acknowledged that climate change is real later on, but questioned the benefit of spending taxpayer money on something that cannot be changed versus the changes that have been occurring forever.
I swear, it's like the going through the five stages of grief.
Specifically, Shimkus said, now, do I believe in climate change? In my trip to Greenland, the answer is yes. The climate is changing. The question is more about costs and benefits and trying to spend taxpayer dollars. Something you cannot stop versus the changes that have been occurring forever. That's the real debate.
I feel like I just sat through Thanksgiving dinner with other people's relatives in like the past 30 seconds. That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So yeah, that gives them a chance to rectify their mistakes down in that congressional district, but I don't know that stuff's are going to go blue anytime soon. The last election he won in, let's see, 2018 was, he got 70% of the vote to 29 for his opponent.
No doubt. It's a whole different world down there. I mean, it's basically northern Kentucky.
Yeah. And finally, we have GOP Senator Johnny Isaacson, who is retiring at the end of the year due to health complications. This guy's from my state. And he's been there a while, too.
Yeah, he is quite old.
Weren't we just saying something about this demographic dying out?
Yeah.
It says he's been battling Parkinson's disease and having other health issues.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, three of them. That's three down.
Yep.
All right, now we go across the pond over to Great Britain, the UK.
Yeah. What are those little pieces of work been up to there?
Well, Boris Johnson, who some of you know is now Prime Minister of the UK.
Yeah.
Boris.
Oh, yeah. He went over to Buckingham Palace, and he went over to old Liz, and he asked her to suspend Parliament, which that is something they can do.
It's just rarely ever been done.
Yeah.
It has power grab written all over it.
Yeah, basically they suspend Parliament, and they have to, like, you know, it's suspending, not dissolving. There's a difference.
But yeah, that'll happen on September 9th until October 14th, basically the last few weeks before
Brexit happens.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that is the... do you guys know what his full name is? Because it's amazing.
Boris Oliver Cromwell, whatever the fuck?
It's Alexander Boris de Pfeffel Johnson.
Wow, that's very British, actually.
So, de Pfeffel. There you go.
Yeah, that is the name that if you had it, you'd basically, before you went to bed every night, you would just shit fish and chips.
I mean, he looks like it.
Yeah. So it looks like they're trying to do a thing, basically a no deal Brexit, where they just go la 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 la.
And they're trying to say, like, oh, there won't be any issues with food. I think that, and otherwise, the people actually involved in this stuff's like, you're going to run out in a few days. People are going to start killing each other.
Yeah. It's also completely possible that, you know, they'll just not do it.
Yeah.
Although we can only hope.
Well, it would require that rational people be at control. And
which is not Boris Johnson.
No, he's operating on Bam Bam level logic.
Yeah.
It's like Bam Bam, Bam Bam.
And the reason he's been able to get away with so much is because he always finds a way to... He comes up with some sort of wacky stunt to distract people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, really? That's been his MO pretty much ever since he entered British politics.
Tries to be a doofus.
Yeah. So, and it's on purpose, because that's how he's able to deflect from all the awful shit that he's been up to.
He's just a normal guy like us.
Yeah. Except he isn't. He's just a shit bag.
Yeah. Anyway.
And we're all shit bags here in the UK.
Yeah, kind of the UK thing.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So next up, over at the New York Times, they got a columnist over there by the name of Brett Stevens. And he's how to put it? Well, he has a Pulitzer Prize. He has a regular op-ed column that runs in the New York Times. And apparently he's a bit of a whiny, glassy bitch, because a professor over at George Washington University basically called him a bedbug on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, he wrote, as he says here, riffing on the headline, breaking there are bedbugs in an NYT newsroom, just drawing rounds of Twitter jokes, I'd written, quote, the bedbugs are a metaphor. The bedbugs are Brett Stevens. Tweet landed with a thud, 9 likes, 0 retweets, and I went about my day. And so here's later on, he got an email.
From Brett Stevens.
Yeah, CC'd to his university provost, saying, Dear Dr. Karpf, K-A-R-P-F, someone just pointed out a tweet you wrote about me calling me a bedbug. I'm often amazed about the things supposedly decent people are prepared to say about other people. People they've never met on Twitter. I think you've set a new standard. I would welcome the opportunity for you to come to my house, meet my wife and kids, talk to us for a few minutes, and then call me a bedbug to my face. That would take some genuine courage and intellectual integrity on your part. I promise to be courteous no matter what you have to say. Maybe it will make you feel better about yourself. Please consider this a standing invitation. You're more than welcome to bring your significant other. Cordially, Brett Stevens.
So, well, yeah, this guy's a... Yeah, so this guy's obviously a biggity, 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 biatch.
And this article is written by the guy, that wrote that tweet. And yeah, he just continues on. Stevens, it seems, was offended by my lack of decorum online. He felt I had broken some unwritten social contract, that I was being uncivil by delivering an insult online that I would not deliver to his face. I, meanwhile, was surprised that he had found the tweet at all. I had not used his Twitter handle in the message, with zero retweets. He would have had to look hard to find it on Twitter, and would have had to work even harder to take offense to such an innocuous joke.
Well, actually, since, you know, his name is mentioned in the tweet, yeah. Wouldn't he basically just have to go into the Twitter search bar?
Type his name?
Yeah, yeah. Which, now that I think about it, is kind of pathetic when you're searching for yourself on Twitter.
What are people saying about me?
We used to call it ego surfing.
Yeah.
But what was most striking to me was that he had gone to the effort to CC the Provost, including the Provost clarifies the intent of the message. It means he was not reaching out in earnest attempt to promote online civil discourse. Instead, he was trying to send a message that he stands above me in the status hierarchy, that people like me are not supposed to write mean jokes about people like him online, exercise and wielding power using the imprimatur of the New York Times to ward off speech that he finds distasteful. So, as it continues on, guess who tweeted out a nice letter to Mr. Brett Stevens? GW University.
Yep.
Saying, Dear Mr. Stevens, thanks for getting in touch. As you know, as an academic, Professor Karp speaks for himself and does not take direction from me. His opinions are his own. Our commitment to academic freedom and free speech are integral to GW's mission. I see on Twitter that you invited him to your home. I would like to take this opportunity to invite you to come to our campus to speak about civil discourse in the digital age. Please reach out to me if this is of interest.
Oh, best, but it gets
Forrest
better.
Forrest Maltzman, Provost.
Oh, it gets so much better, too. Because after this happens, Brett Stevens then went on MSNBC and cried like a little bitch in front of, I don't know, the dozen or so people that still watch MSNBC.
Yeah, and then I think he turned off his account.
Yeah.
Basically
quit
God.
Twitter.
Yeah.
I got a rage quit.
Yeah, basically saying, I'm surprised at what the type of animal Twitter brings out of people, you know, that kind of thing.
It's like, no, this is you completely sought this tweet out.
And when he was on MSNBC.
You're mad that you didn't get someone fired, which was definitely your intent. You're mad that their employer had their back.
Yeah. And when he was on MSNBC, he basically tried to and this is a quote. He said, there's a bad history of being analogized to insects that goes back to a lot of totalitarian regimes in the past. He pulled the Hitler card.
Oh, my God. He's a Karen.
Yeah. And you know what makes this especially funny?
Mm-hmm.
The type of columns that Brett Stevens writes. Mm-hmm. He has written several decrying safe spaces.
Yeah.
He once That's wrote a column titled Free Speech and the Necessity of Discomfort.
It sure sounds like so he's a safe space right now.
He's a devil's advocate guy. If he doesn't believe it himself.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Always wants to defend the people that people are shitting on, I guess.
Because
he's good at Googling and searching for that stuff.
Yeah, they're called contrarians, and they really provide nothing of value to society.
Yeah.
No.
That's all you need to be a NYT column writer.
Apparently.
Columnist.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the New York Times, the quality of their articles is all over the place. And that's, you know, kind of indicative of the people.
Yeah,
that
there's a good SNL skit of, like, the guy that runs that stuff, like, basically, like, just approving of the weirdest shit getting written by people that are of sketchy... interest, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't care what it says. I need 20 column inches right now.
Not far off.
Yeah. Probably not.
What's especially fun, it's one of those things where it's like,
I just think it would have been funnier if he had showed up at his house with his phone, knocked on the door, waited for him to answer, then just said, bed bug, and left.
Oh, God.
Yeah. There's some good tweets of people talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
One says, Brett Stevens apparently just Googled Jews as bedbugs. Didn't even bother to check the source, and the fucking New York Times published it. At no point throughout the entire process did anyone think, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Anyway. You know about that Twitter account, NYT on it? It's amazing.
No.
But I want to now. Yes. I'll look at it later. Mm. All right. Well, anyway. All right. So, NASA. NASA is investigating their first allegation of a crime committed in space.
Yep. Yes.
We now live in the era where space crime is now an operative concept.
Yeah, this is very much a... It's not as cool as what that title says.
No, it's actually pretty, like, misdemeanor.
Yeah, so we have an astronaut named Anne McClain,
mm-hmm.
Who was up in the ISS for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, around that same time, her estranged spouse, Summer Ward, they were kind of having a little spat
mm-hmm.
On the way out. Together, kind of a convenient time to get sent to fucking space
mm-hmm.
where you can't deal with any of this shit. But I guess just because they still have internet access up there, she logged into her bank account to just check and make sure there's enough money in there to pay bills and care for Miss Warden's son,
mm-hmm.
who they've been raising together prior to the split. That's pretty much what she claims she was doing.
Yeah.
But Summer Warden filed a complaint with the FTC claiming that she was trying to hack into her account and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Which obviously brings up the question, like, okay, how does Earth law work in space?
Yeah, who has jurisdiction?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like maritime law. I mean, but not maritime law.
It says here there are 5 national or international space agencies involved in the ISS. U.S., Canada, Japan, Russia, and a European contingent. And a legal framework sets out that national law applies to any people and possessions in space. So if a Canadian national were to commit a crime in space, they would be subject to Canadian law. Russian citizen to Russian law.
Oh,
so
okay.
on and so forth. Space law also sets out provisions for extradition back on Earth. Should a nation decide it wishes to prosecute a citizen of another nation for misconduct in space, I guess as space tourism becomes a reality, so might the need to prosecute space crime. But for now, the legal framework remains untested. NASA officials told the New York Times that they were not aware of any crimes committed on the space station.
Yeah, yeah so... space crime!
Yeah.
If you want a fun read, look up... Like the waste, the way they dealt with waste in spacesuits.
Oh, yeah.
For the longest time, why it was primarily made for men.
Hmm.
Yeah,
and of course, trying to pee into like any sort of like chute or whatever they had just failed constantly, so they just pissed all over themselves inside the suit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind when they had to go number two. And so, like, when they started sending women up there, it's like when they had to actually rethink things.
Mm.
So, hey, think about your space heroes. They just piss themselves the entire time.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know,
wasn't
basically
there an episode of Adventure Brothers about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, there was.
Now that I think about it, you know, space really is just a giant ocean with no water. And I'm pretty sure that that's the same thing that deep sea divers do.
Just yeah.
Yeah, but there's water to take it away other than just soaking in it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway.
Well,
that would be
hey.
Yeah, imagine if you're the first person that opens up the space capsule when they come back to Earth.
Oh dear God. overtime.
You could see it.
Hmm.
Let's put it that way. The fumes that would come out of that capsule would be visible.
Oh hey, Brandon, breaking news. Hurricane Dorian upgraded the major Category 4 storm.
Oh,
well,
God.
Then everybody needs to get the crap out of Florida.
Yeah,
yeah they do.
Well, they do anyway, but
yeah.
Now they have some motivation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think somebody I work with has like a rental property down there.
Mm.
Yeah.
They're just like talking to friends down there about getting their furniture secured. And they're like, of course, it doesn't really matter either way because it's insured and we can replace it easily.
Yeah, yeah, right. My parents have like a condo down there that they rent out, but that thing's like made out of freaking concrete. So
yeah, that's not going anywhere.
So it'll still be there.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the furniture.
And they've had to deal with hurricanes in the past. Like that one time that after the hurricane went, the owners of the building went to check on the pool and found a dead dolphin in it.
Yeah. As you do. Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Oh, don't cry. He was probably an asshole. I mean, seriously, have you read about what dolphins are like in the wild?
It's true.
They kind of are, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to deal with sharks. Yeah. You got to be an asshole to deal with assholes.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when they're more intelligent than the dominant species on the planet.
Anyway. All right, so next up. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you know, they've got that thing now down there in Disney World.
Yep.
And it's one of the reasons I kind of want to go back there,
mm-hmm.
amongst other things. Because unfortunately, some of the rides that I got to go into back when I was 8 years old, I didn't get to go on the second time around. So
mm-hmm. it's probably a completely different experience as an adult.
Kinda. You start to really notice how primitive some of the animatronics are.
Probably how close to death you are on some of those rides.
Yeah. Right. And you know, too, when you're an adult, like the whole motion stuff, it's all different.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
As a kid, everything is magical.
Yeah.
So I was like, well,
see, the thing is, when you grow up and go to Disney World, you find other stuff to interest you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Booze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Booze. The fact that the chicks who dress up as Disney princesses tend to be a little bit more promiscuous than their characters. Yeah. Anyway. So one of the things you can get at Star Wars Galaxy Edge is a specific bottle of Coca-Cola that's meant to look like a thermal detonator.
Okay.
And guess why the TSA decided that they're not letting that onto planes with them?
I couldn't imagine why. I mean,
yeah.
Can you give a sister a hand here? Give me a clue.
How about the fact that they look like freaking grenades?
That's a pretty good reason.
And like, yeah. I'm not even kidding. Look at these things.
I know. They totally look like grenades.
It's like that, and then there's like, here's a bottle of Dasani water. Or the logo just looks weird.
Hmm.
It's like somebody got drunk designing it.
Mm-hmm.
What's Dasani look like? D K S K R I. Dasani.
Is that supposed to look like? Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and I know that's supposed to be a language of some kind, but
it's a Star Wars language.
Yeah, I know probably, that. I'm just trying to remember which one.
It's probably Huddy's.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because, I mean, that way Jabba the Hutt would recognize it when 3PO is like, because he's holding a thermal detonator!
Yeah. Anyway.
No.
Yeah, so don't bring anything that looks like a grenade with you on the flight home.
Just FedEx it back home, but to save yourself some trouble.
Yeah. And insure it, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then sell it on eBay.
All right, so.
Okay, it's Aurebesh. Aurebesh.
Oh, okay.
I need to Google that to find out what Aurebesh
is. Isn't that the, aren't those the Aurebesh? Isn't that the sand people?
No, those are Tusken Raiders. I don't know who the Aurebesh are. Scott, who are the Aurebesh?
The Aurebesh is the alphabet.
Oh, it's the alphabet for what? Like galactic standard?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's galactic standard alphabet.
Okay, here's the Wikipedia page for it.
Scott making his Let's Weekend debut.
A writing system used to transcribe Galactic Basic, one of the most useful languages in the galaxy. Outer Rim Territories, Aurebesh was sometimes used alongside Outer Rim Basic. Another alphabet. Okay. Oryk, Besh, Kresh, Cherek, Dorn, Esk. Okay, there's a bunch of things here.
Yeah.
Oh, at least the numbers. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. They're basically English.
because numbers are constants.
Mm-hmm. They just look a little weird. They forgot a line on some of these.
Mm. Yeah. That's true. Anyway. All right, so. Oh, this is a fun one. Okay, so. Yeah. Being that, you know, we are talking about hurricanes, and Hurricane Dorian officially is now a Cat 4, hopefully this hurricane season won't be quite as intense as last year's was, when it was just, like, stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
I'm not real hopeful about that one.
Yeah. And apparently, while Trump was in a conference with his... with the folks at the National Security, he actually brought up the idea, why don't we just nuke the hurricanes?
He claims he didn't do it. He That's claims he didn't mention that.
But everyone else around him says no, he brought
totally
that up.
Totally went there.
And yeah. So here's what he said. I got it. Why don't we nuke them? Uh-huh. They start forming off the coast of Africa as they're moving across the Atlantic, which I don't think is how it is.
No.
We drop a bomb inside the eye of the hurricane and it disrupts it.
Interesting that he thinks all the problems start in Africa, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
he's not wrong. It would disrupt it, but it would probably, you know, wipe out humanity in the process. So,
not necessarily. Tom Skilling did weigh in on it. He said that that's not the first time this shit has been brought up in his 50 years as a meteorologist.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a not uncommon idea brought up by various cranks who basically call up the National Weather Center and try to convince everyone there that they've got the magic cure to solving hurricanes.
Mm. And old man tries to blow up cloud.
Right? And everybody there is like, this guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Skilling was like, okay, let's take a heat-generated tropical event or weather event, add more heat to it, and that's going to solve it?
No, because that's the whole thing with Dorian is it stopped, basically, south of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, if the water was, like, in the 70-degree range, it would be okay.
Yeah,
but it's in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So it's warm, so it's going to add more power to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got, let's see, asked how the briefer reacted. The source recalled he said something to the effect of, sir, we'll look into that. Trump replied, asking previously how many hurricanes the U.S. could handle and reiterating his suggestion that the government intervene before they make landfall. The briefer was knocked back on his heels. The source and room added, you could hear a gnat fart in that meeting. People were astonished after the meeting, and then we thought, "What the fuck? What do we do with this?"
You smack him upside the head with a third grade science book.
Please, somebody knock some sense into that giant orange head of his, please.
He really does have a big head, doesn't he?
He does.
Especially in proportion to the rest of him.
The tiny hands, what you're going for here?
He needs a big head to contain his giant ego.
He needs a fucking blimp to contain that.
Yeah.
All right.
I like this part here. What people near the president do is they say, I love a president who asks questions like that, who's willing to ask tough questions. It takes strong people to respond to him in the right way when stuff like this comes up. For me, alarm bells weren't going off when I heard about it, but I did think somebody's going to use this to feed into the president is crazy narrative.
Yeah. What they should say is, that's stupid, you're stupid, I'm going to pick up this bottle and throw it at your head.
That would be valid, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a pretty large target.
Yeah. Spit wads are also valid.
Yeah.
Though I guess at some point National Geographic wrote an article called Nuking Hurricanes, a Surprising History of a Really Bad Idea.
Like I said, this is not an unheard of.
Yeah. I have heard of this before. Yeah, it was like
October
back in the
1961,
early
90s. The head of the U.S. Weather Bureau said he could, quote, imagine the possibility someday of exploding a nuclear bomb on a hurricane far at sea.
Yeah.
And all the winners.
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay, the NOAA maintains a webpage exclusively devoted to debunking this proposal. All right.
Yeah.
So, Phil, this needs to be our new homepage for the site. Subject, why don't we try to destroy tropical cyclones by nuking them?
Because it doesn't work, you moron. That's good.
Okay, so,
yeah.
Next up. Okay, so I mentioned at the top of the show, Death Row Records. They were like one of the major parts of gangster rap in the 90s. In fact, they were part of that whole East Coast, West Coast thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Death Row, was, of course, it was run by Suge Knight, who is a very large and very scary person.
Yeah.
Famously picked up Vanilla Ice by his ankles and hung him off a balcony.
And is currently in prison.
Yeah.
What have I been living under? A rock, apparently.
But yeah, Death Row, you know, it had Tupac, had Snoop Dogg. I think Dr. Dre was with them for a while. Anyway, that company kind of went defunct in the last few years after Suge Knight, you know, went to prison.
Mm.
And then it ended up getting purchased this week.
Yeah.
By Hasbro.
Yeah. They purchased Entertainment One, multimedia company which previously owned the rights to the label that Suge Knight built that helped push the careers of world-famous artists like Tupac, Snoop Dogg, and Dr. Dre.
Mm. Yep.
They kind of go into the history of what happened to Death Row Records back in the day. So, after falling from grace after years of dominance, Death Row was taken over by a judge after being declared bankrupt in 2006. 2009 was auctioned off for $18 million to Canadian company Wide Awake Entertainment Group. E1 bought the label's catalog in 2013 for $280 million, which that's a hell of a turnaround.
Yeah.
And yeah, the let's see, I don't know if they have a price here for they paid. I don't think so. But yeah, Hasbro CEO Brian Goldner commented on the purchase of E1, stating, "The acquisition of E1 adds beloved story-led global family brands that deliver strong operating returns to Hasbro's portfolio and provides a pipeline of new brand creation driven by family-oriented storytelling." So I'm kind of wondering,
and gangster rap.
What the hell else does company have? Because they didn't buy it for Death Row Records. Just
It's funny to say that Hasbro owns them right now, but looking at this realistically with an understanding of how these things tend to play out, it'll get spun off like yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think Hasbro wants to, you know, wants that catalog. Honestly, don't think they want to be in the music business, so.
But they do want the money that it'll net them. I mean, that's going to be a payday.
I mean, they have other entertainment ventures, so I guess they probably want something along those lines. So E1 probably had properties that they wanted. But
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it's all. But at the same time, I mean, if the music catalog pulled, what was it, $280 million?
Back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Their TV show stuff they have here, let's see. Mighty Machines, Peppa Pig. So, yeah, some big stuff there. Grey's Anatomy, Criminal Minds, Rookie Blue. The Walking Dead, I guess. They're an international distributor for that. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there on the TV front. Mm. Music-wise, let's see. E1 Music was formed February 2004 as Coke Records. Serve as a North American umbrella for Coke Entertainment. Mm. So, yeah, they got some different stuff here, yeah.
Yeah.
I also got family brands like Peppa Pig, Tractor Tom, Humph. I have no idea who any of these are. Cupcake and Dino.
Too old for
Ben
that.
And Holly's Little Kingdom. Mm. PJ Masks, Winston Steinberger, and Sir Deadly Ding Dong.
What the fuck? Deadly Ding Dong?
Sir Deadly Ding Dong.
Oh, Deadly Ding. Okay, that's not even better.
I'm not picturing
a big baloney between his legs.
Let's see. The series follows the intergalactic adventures of a 12-year-old boy named Winston Steinberger and his best friend, a cat named Dudley. Okay.
Yeah, we're just gonna
move past that.
Yeah. Sir
moving on.
Ding Dong.
I said moving on.
Moving on. No more.
Dick dogs.
All right. So next we got, it's going to be the entertainment portion, a couple of trailers, and then we're going to talk about the stuff that happened at D23. All right.
That's a lot of it.
All right, so first and foremost, we got a new trailer for The Joker.
Yes, we did. And it actually kind of looks like a movie I want to watch.
Yep. He does the laugh a few times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Joaquin Phoenix. Oh, wouldn't have expected that, but okay, it works.
I mean, as long as it's not Jared Leto.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But, we also got a trailer for Steven Soderbergh's Netflix movie, which is called The Laundromat.
And this is based off of the Panama Papers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That whole thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's going to be a pretty funny movie. Because Gary Oldman and Antonio Banderas are playing a pair of Panama City law partners.
Mm.
And they ham it up the entire time. Meryl Streep is investigating an insurance fraud, and that leads to the Panama City papers.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other people in there. That's some big names.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Sounds cool.
Yep.
So, and then we've got a trailer confirming the release date for the Breaking Bad movie. It's going to be October 11th.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know somebody looking forward to this, so.
I know a lot of people looking forward to this.
Yep, this trailer's pretty good. It just features Skinny Pete.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, they locked him up to make this meth. I'm not telling you where the fuck he is. So you can put him in your own prison.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all right. The franchise is still going.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
And you got the prequel show, and now this movie is going after... series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now we're going to the D23. All right, we ready? Here we go. First and foremost, there's a new Lizzie McGuire show coming, and Hilary Duff's going to be in it.
Yep.
Okay, that went over my head. So
yeah. All right. Next up.
That was a show I watched as a kid.
Yeah, that was one of those live-action shows on the Disney Channel.
Mm. That Saturday morning show.
Mm. Yeah. Also, they're doing another Muppet series. This one's called Muppets Now.
Yeah, this one's supposed to be, I think, unscripted.
Yeah.
Some more, let's see, Muppets Now will be a short-form unscripted series featuring the iconic characters.
Yeah.
Project Feather Muppets alongside celebrity guest stars in a form that Disney describes as featuring a startling silliness and heartfelt fun.
Yeah.
Produced by Muppet Studios. I don't think I have a time frame for this. Just announced it, I guess.
Yeah.
But
considering after their last show bombed so badly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you have Kermit fuck a different pig.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, him and Miss Piggy broke up.
Yeah.
That's, anyway. Next up, there is going to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi series, and Ewan McGregor is going to be starring in it.
Ewan McGregor, yep.
Ewan McGregor.
He's going to reprise his old role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got a very particular set of skills.
Indeed.
Mm.
Yeah, and he's going to be, I think it's take place 8 years after Revenge of the Sith. So I guess going to be him being a hermit on Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
Or getting to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably did a lot of shit between then and then, so...
Yeah,
maybe, but he was supposed to go down to Tatooine with Luke.
Yeah,
just keep an eye on.
That's true.
So he's gonna drink some of that blue milk they got there.
Yeah. Also, we got the release date for Black Panther. Oh, wait! Before we get to that, we found out there's some series coming to Disney Plus in the Marvel world.
Yep,
there's gonna be a She-Hulk series.
Yeah,
and we're getting Moon Knight as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so I know Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk. What is Moon Knight?
Basically Marvel's version of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
With added themes of insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
The difference is that unlike Bruce Wayne, this guy is more obviously insane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But so She-Hulk, I'm like absolutely on board for that one.
Yeah.
Huge She-Hulk fan. And Ms. Marvel, I'm like, damn straight.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm surprised they hadn't done that one sooner. I mean, she's pretty much been Marvel's biggest seller comic-wise for the last couple years.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Though I think they had to wait until they got Captain Marvel out there.
Yeah, that's true.
First. Mm. Then I would not be surprised if that sort of folds into whatever the second movie is going to be.
Mm-hmm. All right, and now for the one
Torn down this whole barrier between the MCU and the TV stuff? Or is that still...
It's basically because they got a bunch of the MCU actors in their shows.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I wonder who they're going to have playing She-Hulk, because there's a particular personality and body type that's required for that.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah. And now for the one I'm actually excited about. So obviously, Disney's like major movie release this year is going to be that's not made by Pixar is Frozen 2.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited for. But then we found out at D23 what their next movie is going to be. And here's the shocker. It's a completely original property.
I think you skipped one here.
Hmm. Oh yeah. We got before we get there. We found the release date for Black Panther 2.
Yeah,
it's gonna be May 6, 2022.
May 6, 2022. Yeah,
that's a little bit of ways away. So.
Yeah. So
don't hold.
Anyway, back. Yeah. Anyway, like I said, original property has no connection to old fairy tales or of any kind. Not based on any Brothers Grimm or Hans Christian Andersen or any other Disney property. It is a completely new project. Original. It's called Raya and the Last Dragon.
Hmm.
And it's basically a 3D, you know, fully animated Disney Kung Fu movie. Fantasy Kung Fu movie. And amongst others are Cassie Steele and Awkwafina.
Alright, I'm down with this.
Yeah. let's see. Paul Briggs and Dean Wellens will be directing. Oz Not Sure will be producing. Adele Lim, the guy who wrote Crazy Rich Asians, the screenplay for that movie, is going to be penning the script. Plot: a lone warrior from the fantasy kingdom of Kumandra. Sorry, that had taken me a couple times. Teams up with a crew of misfits in her quest to find the last dragon and bring light and unity back to their world.
Hmm.
So they've got like some pieces of what the concept art looks like, and it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, this could be pretty big for them if it turns out to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am reasonably excited. Just from that little bit, it looks really good.
Yeah.
Just don't fuck this up. And now for something I'm not excited for in any way. We got the trailer for the live-action version of Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah. Just kind of meh.
Eh.
And the last couple of live-action movies that Disney's done, Aladdin and Dumbo, those are the ones I've seen. I haven't seen The Lion King yet. But they were just kind of meh.
The Lion King movie is pretty much the original, almost frame for frame.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So you're not really... if you wanted to do that, why wouldn't you just watch the original Lion King?
Exactly.
It's so much better.
Let me guess, they put it in the vault.
No, I've got it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's readily available.
Hmm. But, yeah...
so they aren't quite as scummy as I was thinking they were going to be.
No.
And then we got the trailer for The Mandalorian.
Hmm.
Yep. Which is kind of a perfect fit for Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Because Star Wars was very much influenced by Kurosawa movies.
Oh, yeah.
Which obviously influenced Westerns, and this is very much, hey, what if we do a Star Wars Western?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they already made a Star Wars Western. It was called A New Hope.
Basically.
Yeah. But yeah, kind of doing this new series. Going to be out November 12th when Disney Plus launches. And it's looking pretty good.
Yeah. And finally, we got a new teaser trailer for Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Which I didn't watch, because I didn't watch it.
And we got to see a new lightsaber design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say, you know, switchblades.
Yeah.
Like a mount.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get a... It's basically like how you would make a Darth Maul-style lightsaber.
Hmm.
But don't have to worry about it pointing out both ends all the time.
Hmm. Yeah, and, you know, accidentally, like, turning the thing on at the wrong angle.
Yeah.
Oh, my
and
nuts.
Suddenly having a lightsaber going through your crotch.
Well, that's gone badly.
Yeah.
And some other weird shit that has no context for what's going on.
There's a lot of like lightsaber concepts they could take from like the Legends universe.
Yeah.
Because obviously we've seen the lights in the movies. We've seen the regular lightsaber. We've seen the double saber. Darth Maul has.
Yeah.
We've seen that weird cross saber that. Han Solo Jr. uses.
Yeah.
But like in the extended universe, they had like whips, light whips, light clubs, light spears, like nunchucks.
Yeah.
So there's like some ideas they can explore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to be careful with that because there's a lot of weird shit in the EU.
Yeah.
Oh, the EU gets especially weird.
Yeah.
Like, hey, when they made a clone of Luke based off of the hand that gets cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke with two U's.
Yeah.
And you got all, like, the fan service characters, like Darth Talon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Darth Talon?
No, I don't know.
Talon was basically a red Twi'lek that wore next to nothing.
Mm.
She was a Sith, and she had, like, these black tattoos on her face and back, and... Hold on. I'll show you a picture. But, yeah, the alternate universe gets really weird eventually. Mm. So you'll want to, just tread carefully, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. The EU also gets, decidedly darker.
Yeah.
Just gonna put that out there. Depending on which novels you tend to read.
You remember her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They made a porn parody with her.
Shocking. She was in Dark Empires, was she? I can't remember what she was in.
She was in the comics, I know that much.
Like Dark Empires.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that was the one.
I don't think she actually showed up outside of that.
Oh.
But yeah. The only way you're going to see her in, like, full form is that porn parody I mentioned, which you can probably find very easily on Pornhub, just type Star Wars. Anyway, I do believe we got a show, folks.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Do we? Yeah. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it typed up for you there in the show notes. Also, at top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. There's a good 6-to-1 chance we're on there somewhere. I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo DiNolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logie, good night, sleep tight, I'm going back to Astral Chain.